to do something fun, to be educated, to work to get a little bit better at something that we all probably love, and that is the practice, the art, the philosophy, everything that has to do with our beloved chiropractic. So I think all of us are chiropractors in here. I was reading an article maybe about 3 or 4 days ago about Lucy. Everyone knows who Lucy is, right? Lucy is a very old archaeologic study, an old find. Maybe the missing link, possibly between ape and man, and we all have our beliefs about whether or not evolutionary data is true. I'm not going there. But 3 million years old is how old Lucy was when they found her. And it brought about a lot of clues or thoughts as to links between man and predecessors and hominids and early times. But there's clearly an evolution that's happened since Lucy. And I used to think that Neanderthals, people that were cave people, were dumb, right? So I continue with my article, and I read something from, it's called the Neanderthal Genome Project. And Lucy had a larger sized brain than other primates and appeared to be way more intelligent. And in the Neanderthal Genome Project, they found through genetic material that Neanderthals actually weren't stupid, like they're portrayed to be a lot of times when we see them in movies and things like that. There tends to be a tendency, I think, for a lot of people to think that if someone doesn't speak their language, they're somehow less intelligent. It's just they had a different language, right? But they managed to be around long enough so that we're still here. So there had to be some degree of intelligence. So that got me thinking about kind of like the condition of our society, the condition of our patients, the condition of man right now. One of the rules in life, in order to get along in life, is first know where you are, right? You got to know where you are, assess the conditions where you are, and then you can make a plan to deal with where you are, whatever your goal is. Our goal, I know, because you're here, is to improve conditions for humanity. It's to help people. Good morning. I promise not to be boring and dull if you won't be boring and dull. Agreed?
Okay.
It's a mirror. Well, that's what they say when you speak, at least. It's a mirror, right? So sort of like whatever you do, it's kind of what you get back. I know it's not always like that for the audience. And it was very confusing trying to get back to the airport, right? So the driver goes on the intercom and he says, this bus is going to the following airlines. If you're not on these airlines, you're on the wrong bus. And so all of a sudden there's a scurry and all these people start to get off the bus because they realize they're on the wrong airline. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, so everyone's sort of out of it. And of course, those of us that were on the correct bus had made some judgments about the people who were on the wrong bus. Like, what's wrong with people? Can't they get this together? And you hear a little bit of chatter. And then just before the driver takes off, another person gets up and gets off. And then the driver just shakes his head like some people just can't figure things out. So we're going to like United Airlines, and I flew in on United Airlines. So midway, while we're on our way there, I look down at my ticket, and I discover I'm on the wrong bus. I mean, I've got like high standards like you do, right? So the standard is to work to do something that's really good and help people and be great in our own way. That's what I like to do. And so every single day when I get up, I'm trying to figure out how I can be great. Like, what can I do to be better than I was the day before in my own right, not by anybody else's standard, right? But if you go up or you go down, and the same thing with patients, we go up or we go down. You don't stay the same. But Juno and I had dinner last night, and he was talking about some of the things that people do that allow them to be successful, like the whole regimented kind of thing. And I have nothing to do with the military, but you would think schedule-wise that I was like the son of some kind of military kid, or I'd gone to a military boarding school or something, because I get up like clockwork. So I have been up since I guess it's 4 o'clock this time here. And I went to the gym, I worked out, I went out, got something to eat. I kind of walked around downtown Colorado. It was pretty interesting. They had like pianos on the streets. That's really interesting. I've never seen that before. And people at, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning are playing pianos on the street. That was really unique. But of course, I went by the stimulant place, and the restaurant I went to had, you know, maybe half the restaurant was full, but Starbucks was packed. I couldn't believe how many people were there. And even Krispy Kreme was open and serving donuts. I thought, whoa, that's really interesting. But part of my being regimented also goes back to kind of how I live my daily life. I get up in the morning, generally at home, and I jump on my bike, and then I go in and do work for about 1 or 2 hours, and then I get back on my bike, and I ride back home, and I change and prepare to go to practice. About maybe 3 years ago, yeah, I think so, 3 or 4 years ago, I was coming back in the morning. It was a really great morning. I was at the end of my ride, and I'm going about maybe 20 miles an hour, riding lawfully. And as I approached the corner, boom! Somebody hits me. True story. The lady hits me from behind, throws my body what felt like 10 feet. And then when I landed on my head. And it was pretty interesting because I could feel the hang time. It was just like, ooh, boom. And I went, whoa. And when I landed, I could not feel my body. I lost all feeling. Head down. This is a true story. And the woman got out of the car and she came over and she said to me, "Are you okay? You know, they really need to make bike lanes." And all I could do was just grab my head because my head felt like it was going to split open. It has to be the worst pain I've ever had. And a woman comes over to me and she says, a Latin woman, "Jesus loves you." And she puts my head on her lap. And you can hear people all around me sort of scurrying about because they saw me get thrown. But I want to get up, but they won't let me get up. And I don't understand why they won't let me get up. And because they're kind of freaking out, I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't get up. So they call the ambulance, put me on the flatboard. By the way, this is 3 blocks from my house. I almost made it home, right? And we call my wife, and she comes, and, you know, I end up at the hospital. And it was really interesting because I got to experience healthcare from medical doctors, which I have not done in 20, maybe about 20 years. I remember going into the CT machine, and that table was really cold. They were shocked that I didn't have certain immunizations. They were almost offended. "You don't get immunized?" I'm like, "Well, I didn't say that. I just don't have them." "You don't want pain medication?" "No, I'd rather not have that." So that happened at 7:30 in the morning. They released me from the hospital at about 10:30. Why am I telling you this story? There's a reason. There's a definite reason. One of the things I like to do, life's always going to throw curves at us. Life's always going to throw challenges at us. You know the old trite saying, if life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade. I don't really agree with that. I think you make lemonade, you set up a stand, you sell it, you take the seeds, you plant them, and you grow some more lemon trees. And so I thought I would take that experience and look into it because I recovered very quickly. It took me about 5 to 7 days to recover. So that happened on a Friday. I was back in the office Monday. I know my schedule got hacked by my assistant a little bit, but I still saw patients. And pretty much by the end of the week, I was functioning. I did a concussion test just to see how I was doing, to make sure I wasn't overdoing it. I have zero residuals. But I said, I'm going to take this and do some research and try to understand how come I have patients that get concussions that last for weeks and weeks and weeks and sometimes months, and then other people years, and how come I recovered in about 5 to 7 days. I did tear, have a meniscal tear. That's the least of my worries at this point, which I was offered surgery for, a knee replacement, and I said, nah, I think I'm going to pass. It works fairly well. I can still get out and exercise, so why on earth would I do anything else? I told my attorney, when I can't walk, then we can do this. So that's what today is about. We're going to talk about concussion. We're going to talk about, I decided at that point that I was going to go through and look at what the difference was between myself and what the difference was between those patients. And I looked at those things and documented those and set up a few agreements with some labs and started really doing things to really help people, and I was seeing some really cool results with them. So some of this presentation is actually quite personal, clinically personal, because this is information that's never been shared with anyone before. So I'm giving you my secret, and I hope you help a lot of people with it.